The daughters and sons of Holocaust survivors live in its shadow. Alan Berger learned this through his study of the Holocaust. An expert on the subject, Professor Berger says these children grow up in the presence of an absence.
Grandparents who were murdered, photos of siblings who were murdered during the war, extended families that exist only in photographs. Even though parents may not have spoken much about it, children of survivors, almost to a person, attest that they knew instinctively, if you will, that their parents were different, that they had been in the Holocaust.
Do children in any way carry around a memory, if you will, of this horrific experience that they never actually experienced?
Yeah, it sounds ironic or even improbable at first, but the most important event in the lives of these children happened before they were born. They get unexpected answers to questions. For example, the very popular Mouse volumes by Art Spiegelman, which I'm sure your listeners are familiar with, or many of them are. Spiegelman reports an episode that occurs when he was a youngster, maybe 8 or 9 years old or 10. He's roller skating with his friends. He falls down, he skins his knees, he comes home, he's crying. And his father said, "What's wrong?" And the son says, "Well, I was roller skating with my friends and I fell down and they laughed at me and they left." Now, there are many things you could tell a young child when he or she says something like that. But what did Vladek say, Spiegelman's father? He said, "Ah, friends, lock them in a room for a week without food. Then you'll find out what friends are." This is not the typical kind of thing that an American-born parent would say to a child in that kind of circumstance.
So what does this say generally about relationships between survivors and their children?
Very, very intense. What we know about children of survivors is that they are under enormous pressure. Many are named after deceased relatives. Many are expected to carry that burden of somehow making up for what was lost. The phenomenon of the impossible comparison, for example. The idealization of the murdered child in the Holocaust and the expectation that the child in America who was named after this murdered child be perfect. And in fact, children of survivors are, as a group, quite high achievers, but it's never enough.
Professor Berger, the grandchildren of survivors are now becoming adults. At that distance, I mean, 60 years, do they still feel the effects of the Holocaust?
I think they do feel the effects. I mean, look at the descendants of the Armenians, for example. They are still talking about the story, and their story is still being denied in certain quarters. What we have on the part of the second generation and the third isn't this attempt to connect personally and intimately with the history of what happened to their grandparents. They are taking pilgrimages to the sites of their birthplaces of their parents and to death camps, and they make this pilgrimage, which has taken on the aura of a sacred journey.
Professor Alan Berger, thanks very much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Renee.
Alan Berger is the author of Children of Job and a professor of Holocaust Studies at Florida Atlantic University.